This is the Uhuru Podcast, the show with practical advice on how businesses and engineers can take advantage of cloud computing. The Uhuru Podcast is a production of Uhuru Software, the people who make cloud computing for businesses easy.
It's April the 13th, 2012, and you're listening to the Uhuru Podcast Show with Michael Sirkan as your host. And today we're talking with Andre Cherkasin, who's a software engineer that has been active in the Cloud Foundry, open source Cloud Foundry community, which is where I noticed him being involved with and invited him to be on the show. Thanks for joining us, Andre.
Oh, hi.
It's always interesting for me to talk with other people involved with Cloud Foundry because, of course, Uhuru makes Cloud Foundry enhancements. So I love to hear other people who are involved with it. And so I'm very, very eager to hear about your experiences. So starting off, Andre, tell me why you even got involved with Cloud Foundry. What was interesting to you about it?
Well, I was interested in the cloud technologies, and my dream was found a long time to build my own private cloud. And when I seen Cloud Foundry, open source, Ruby, Node.js, I'm like, oh, that's exactly what we need for our company. So then we started using it for a couple of months.
So you started using it, you set up your own private network, you weren't using the hosted, because there are some hosted versions of Cloud Foundry.
We first tried to host it, and like there was a beta version, then we closed the open beta. And so I participated in beta, and I like it, so we decided to create our own private cloud. That's how we started using it.
Okay, I'm curious, why would you even want a private cloud? I mean, why not? Okay, I've got to back up a little bit more. I mean, why not just go for the typical? So Cloud Foundry is a platform as a service. Why not just go for the traditional kind of cloud hosting, which is just virtual machines? Is that something you didn't want to do?
Yeah, because I need to set up VPS for every project and all the stuff. So I don't want to repeat myself. Do the job from over and over again. And we have a lot of small projects that need, like, leave for a couple of weeks, and then we just publish it to our customer. Mm-hmm. And never talk about it again. So it just has a bit overkill to set up VPS all over again.
Yeah. So, okay, so Cloud Foundry was interesting to you, and you felt you needed to host it yourself because the existing services weren't good enough? Or you just feel you need more control?
It was as easy to deploy application to Cloud Foundry. That's why we choose it.
Right. It's easy to deploy applications, but hosting Cloud Foundry yourself on a private network, that's a bigger chore than using somebody else who's running Cloud Foundry in the cloud that you can use.
Yeah, that's actually why. That's one thing that I didn't like about Cloud Foundry. Documentation about creating your own private cloud is very, very poor. Like, they didn't have a complete documentation how to set up a cloud. They have the intention to start a one-machine cloud, which is not really cloud.
Yeah, they're micro cloud.
Yeah. Now, even before they released micro cloud, they had the setup script for, I think, Ubuntu. Uh-huh. That didn't even work on Debian. So we had to set up a new server with a Ubuntu.
Okay. So obviously, you think it would be great if there was better documentation and instructions and guidance about deploying Cloud Foundry privately. But aside from that, would it be interesting to you to have hosted services like that you could go to instead of going to Amazon, for instance, for virtual machines, that you could go to somebody who had production level Cloud Foundry that you could paths that you could use without you even have that way you wouldn't even have to set it up yourself, right?
Yeah, it's easy. But we already had a server, and the server's already indicted the center, so there's no reason to not use it.
So you already have your own hardware, so just
so
you've already got that investment, why not do that anyway?
Uh-huh.
Makes sense. So what happened? You installed Cloud Foundry what's your experience been? How did it work?
So instead of documentation, I had to read a lot of source code to finally understand how to build on separate servers, like database on one server, application on another server. These things they didn't document it. When I was setting it up. Then I didn't like the API. They didn't have a library, so I can easily write my own wrapper about deploying. So I had to use a command line interface to deploy apps.
Yeah.
It's another thing. I think we use a small web GUI, so you can just click and create a new instance, create a Git repository for you, and you can just work with it.
Yeah?
That's how we use Cloud Foundry.
Okay, so you eventually did get it deployed, though.
Yeah.
And you used it? Are you using it now? Are you using Cloud Foundry now?
No, right now we're migrating for what we had before, because Cloud Foundry has some limitations on how you have to write the software.
So you're saying there were some limitations in Cloud Foundry. What are the limitations that you found problematic?
The biggest limitation was that they didn't have support for RAC for Ruby application on the Rails and Sinatra. We like using Rails and Sinatra, but sometimes we use different things. Sometimes we use our own framework, and the deploying scheme didn't work out for us.
So you primarily use Ruby. That's your main environment. And you like using, though, different platforms for Ruby, not just always having to use Grails.
Yeah.
So that would make sense. So if magically tomorrow there was a full breadth of Ruby platform support for Cloud Foundry, would that change your mind to move away from it?
Hours after you sent me an invitation for interview, I got the email that I finally added support for RAC.
But it's too late. Will that change your mind now? Is that going to keep you on Cloud Foundry?
No, I think it's too late.
Uh-huh. So,
I mean, I like using it, but it's not what I expected.
It's just too late.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I guess they blew their chance, I guess. Well,
the services, I didn't find any guidelines how to attach your own service to Cloud Foundry.
What are your other options then? I mean, without Cloud Foundry, what other options do you have?
Oh, and I'm just writing a chef cookbooks, chef recipes.
Ah.
And tomorrow we're going to install a SmartOS.
Yeah.
So we're going to build a cloud budget on SmartOS and KVM. That's what we're going to do.
Fascinating. Well, this has been very interesting listening to you. Real world experience of somebody with Cloud Foundry. I wish it had worked out a little bit better, but it makes sense in your scenario of why there's some other things that can work better. Hey, is there a place where our listeners can go to get more information, to get more about your ideas and the things you're working on?
I don't have a web blog. I shut it down, so probably nowhere.
Okay, well, I do have the link to your LinkedIn profile. I'll put that in the post when I get your podcast up. Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the show, Andre.
You can find more Uhuru podcasts at uhurusoftware.com.